Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Tampa International Airport. I am in Tampa, Florida, where I flew down here on Monday night to do a job for an 83-year-old woman and her 87-year-old husband, Betty and Neil, a wonderful couple that I found out got married the same year I got married. They got married in 1980, and they are terrific. They had a large... they have a lot of property down here. They have a large metal warehouse that was rented out by a guy from Connecticut who apparently a year and a half ago, or maybe a couple of years ago, stopped paying his rent, left the area, and left a bunch of stuff behind, and they have finally got court order and everything in order to go get this cleaned out. And so they heard about our company, found us on the web. I talked to them a little bit. I gave them a good discount because they paid for it in advance. But I also added a little, what I call the 80-year-old discount on there. And they are just delightful people. So I flew down here Monday night, did the job Tuesday, Wednesday, did the last run to the dump this morning. And I'm going to tell you more about that job as we get into the show. But that's what I'm doing down here in Tampa. You will probably hear during the show, you'll hear, you know, gate announcements, luggage announcements, stuff like that coming over the, like right there, coming over the loudspeaker, telling people where to go and what gate to go to and when they're about to board and all that good stuff. But by and large, should have a fairly quiet show here today, and we'll see how it all works out. I've been over here in the very corner of this gate for about an hour, taking a nap, using my little, you know, U-shaped pillow and just lying on the floor and take my shoes off and stretched out. And it was delightful. I am one of these strange guys that can just do that in an airport, get some rest. And it, especially when nobody's around, that just works really well for me. And I can simply lie down on the carpeted floor and put a pillow or a backpack under my head, and I'll doze off for an hour, and it just feels good. My flight going back to Washington, D.C., to Dulles, is at 5:30, so it works out perfect to do this show today. I want to start off a couple of things that I just want to say. I did a show a couple of weeks ago here talking about the Charlie Kirk assassination, which happened in my hometown, in Orem, Utah, at Utah Valley University. But I need to apologize to him and his family because there was a whole show I referred to him as Chris Kirk, not Charlie Kirk, which shows you how much I knew about him. Originally, I simply did not know much about him, got his name wrong, and didn't realize it until after the show that I'd been calling him by the wrong name the whole time. So my apologies go out to him and his family, with this tragedy that happened, and God bless him and his family for moving forward with life in the midst of a terrible assassination situation. I was going to say like a terrifically horrible assassination, but anyway, my apologies for not getting the name right. I felt horrible after that. I want to tell you about something, kind of some new stuff we've done. We have a really good client named Jeff and Lynn in Rockville, Maryland, and they used to live in West Virginia. They hired us a few years ago to move their stuff from West Virginia to Rockville, Maryland, which we did. They're a delightful couple, really fun to be around. And an interesting thing happened in Jeff's home a few years ago when we were getting this stuff done. He has in his beautiful entryway in that home a marble floor right inside the entryway, and the stairway goes upstairs on the left, makes a right-hand turn, and goes up another, you know, five or six steps, and then makes a left-hand turn to the floor, the carpeted floor on the second floor. So if you're up on the second floor and you want to come downstairs, you take a step down from the floor to a landing, then you turn right, and you go down five or six steps, then you turn left, and you go down about 15 steps, and then you're down on the marble floor. Well, there's a wooden railway. That's not the right word. It sounds like a train thing. There's a wooden rail guard, let's just say a stairwell guard, that lines that stairway. And as I, with a wooden railing, of course, going across the top of it, and as I came out of his bedroom upstairs, I was carrying a small piece of perch, an end table. I was carrying that, and that prevented me from seeing what was immediately right in front of me. And as I came off the second floor carpet to take that first step, I didn't realize that there was a step there. And so I came off there and stumbled, and your natural inclination is to hold on to what you're carrying, which I did. And I fell down onto that landing and hit the wooden banister. That's what I'm looking for. I hit the wooden banister that protected me from falling about 15 feet down onto the marble floor head first with an end table in my hands. That wooden banister held. I could have easily, I think, broken through that and would probably be doing this radio show as a quadriplegic right now, seriously, if that banister had not held. It was one of the great blessings of being looked out for, is the way I look at it, where I simply fell over. That banister held me. I am 6'3", about 225 pounds. I could have easily broken those wooden supports on that banister and gone right through it down onto the marble floor and been talking to you as a quadriplegic right now. But that banister held. So I've always been grateful for Jeff's banister there, and I've not forgotten that situation, because it could have ended up much worse, and it didn't. But anyway, we moved him into Rockville, Maryland, and then a couple of weeks ago, he sent me a message and said, "Hey, do you do any landscaping? We need to get the front part of our condominium landscaped. The HOA is getting after us." And so we went over, and we have done some landscaping before, but yes, we went over, and in the course of about 4 hours, pulled out some big weeds in front, trimmed the bushes, dug a little trench around the edge of the flower beds and stuff, and brought in some mulch and spread it, and it looks fabulous now. So my point is, sometimes in your business, you end up doing something else that you weren't really planning on doing. But if you're successful at it and it looks good and it works, you take a picture, a before and after picture, which is what we did, post it on Facebook, boost the post, and all of a sudden you're in the landscaping business. So we did that to kind of extend some of the things that we do beyond what we normally do. And it was really fun to do. And it was a good job, and it was not a big job. It was a simple job. But makes us look like we know what we're doing landscaping somebody's yard. We refer to it as getting the junk out of your yard, which is very appropriate for what we do. And so we did that, and it worked, and they were very happy. And Jeff's wife came home from work, saw that, and was thrilled. And that's like the icing on the cake. So we thought that was just a fabulous thing. So anyway, sometimes you can branch out into new areas that can open up more possibilities for your business and get going. And in this case, it was not a tough job, and it was kind of easy to do. It's fun to do, and we made it work. The before and after shot is really impressive. You can go to Facebook. You can go to my page on Facebook, Alan J., the initial J. Cook, and you can see the post of the before and after landscaping job that we did there. By the way, I have often referred to on this show as the fact that life is an adventure and that you get one shot at it. So you want to create memories that are fabulous memories for you and bring a smile to your face and just keep doing that over and over and over, and you will have a very happy, productive, and successful life. If you do go to my Facebook page, you'll see the background photo right there up front, in addition to my profile shot. You'll see a background photo, and if you zoom in on that photo a little bit, you'll see me riding a zip line over Royal Gorge in Colorado, which is the deepest natural gorge in North America, and it drops down about 1,100 feet to the Arkansas River, and you can cross that gorge a number of different ways, but one of the ways, the most exciting way, is to do it in a zip line. And if I have time at the end of the show, I'll come back and think more about that story, because that was a fabulous thing. But that's the background portion, and it illustrates the concept that life is supposed to be an adventure. So that's my opinion. So make it an adventure and do the things that put a smile on your face. I want to give you an update on one of the specials that we did. Every year we launch a special for home or office cleanouts at a discounted price. Typically, if you clean out a home, let's say a two-level home, single-family home, you'll haul away about two truckloads, meaning box trucks, 12-foot box trucks of stuff off of each level. So you'll do about five box trucks of stuff to clean out a home or an office as an average general number. Once a year, I do a special thank you to our clients, and I put out a five-box truck special, which at $695 for each truck would run about $3,500, but I discount it to the price of whatever year we're in. So on the 4th of July this year, I made five of these available for 2025. You have to use them by the end of the year. And instead of $3,500, it's $2,025. Saves you $1,500. Well, I've made five of them available. I've got three of them left. And it's a first-come, first-served basis. And I'm still surprised. And they're good around the country. I'm still surprised that I've still got a couple of them available, but I do. And if you are listening to this show and you've got a home or an office clean out that you need done anywhere in the continental United States, go to the website and look for the page that says 2025 on top of it, and you will get the whole shooting match right there. You can read all about it, and you can buy one of those. Like I said, there's three of them left, and it's a great deal. It's almost 50% off. So I think that's a cool thing. So that's the 2025 special update on the website. Gives you a home or office clean out for $2,025. Next year it'll go up a buck to $2,026. But it's instead of $3,500, it's a little over $2,000. You save almost $1,500, and we think that is a great deal. I got a comment on Craigslist. This is something that is very hot, you know, number of years ago, and then the internet comes along, and Facebook comes along, and Marketplace, and all this stuff where you can go in and do advertising electronically on social media. Well, Craigslist was one of the first websites to, you know, kind of make it big and hit it big. And I am still a big fan of Craigslist because you can go in and do, if you're a business, you can go in and list your services available in your area or technically anywhere in the country, and you get a 30-day ad for $5. Now, that's amazing. And we did that, and we do that regularly with our scrap metal business. One of the other things we do is we go around and we pick up scrap metal. If things slow down and they get a little slow, there's always people who are trying to get rid of a washer and a dryer or a refrigerator or a microwave or a weight set or a treadmill or whatever they might be getting rid of. And we will go out and pick that stuff up for free because we can turn around and take it to a scrap metal yard and be paid based on the type of metal it is and on the weight that it is. We can be paid cash for those things. So we will do that. It doesn't make us money per se each time we go, although there are instances where it does, which is what I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But it does give us new customers. And if you go out and do something like this and you pick up 5 new customers in a day where you've gone out and done something for them for free, you give them your business card, you tell them if they want to be on your monthly email list for client specials to just send you an email address and add them to the list. So you can add to your database, but most important thing is you get in front of 5 more people in a day, and you help them with something that they otherwise would have had to pay for. Well, we run those ads in the Washington, D.C. area, and recently Prince George's Community College called us, said, hey, we've got some big stuff out here that we need to get rid of. Can you come help us? Well, it turns out, as I was talking to my friend out there, my new contact, that some of the stuff that needs to be hauled away is really big, heavy stuff that you can't just put in a truck, or you can't even use a lift gate to get it up on the truck. You need like a tractor of some kind to load it. So we talked about a number that we would charge to go out and load this stuff up. And we started at $2,500, and he went into some meetings to get permission, and they kind of balked at that amount. They thought somebody might just come and get it for free, but they didn't realize it's so big and awkward that you need some equipment in order to get it out of there. They finally agreed to pay us $1,000 to come and haul this stuff away, which was fine because we're going to get money from it when we drop it off. It really consisted of about 5 or 6 different items. There was a very tall, solid metal forklift attachment that was rusted out, probably 7 or 8 feet tall, sitting over on one of the corners. There was a pair of compressors, probably 10 feet long, about 4 or 5 feet wide, and it had, again, some kind of two big pumps or something on the top of them that were also extremely heavy. There were 4 electronic large rectangular, we'll call them boxes, but these are 6 feet tall and about 4 feet square that have a lot of electrical components in them, including a number of adapters that are solid copper wire about 1 inch in diameter, that also have a copper head attached to them, and then those are screwed on to the assembly inside of each of these rectangles. Copper is the golden word in the scrap metal business. That's what you want to find. And we found some inside these units. There's a bunch of them in there that can be disconnected, and then you separate the copper from the regular metal, and you make a lot more money. So that was kind of exciting. On the compressor, there were a lot of copper pipes that needed to be cut off and taken off. And we used a sawzall, a DeWalt sawzall, a cordless sawzall, which you kind of stick in your hand. It's got a blade that will pump in and out on the end of it. You use it to cut off pipes and metal and anything else you want to. That whole assembly, that saw and all the blades and everything, came from another job where people paid us to clean out a bunch of stuff, and this guy had a whole bunch of tools. This is one of the tools that we got paid to take from a prior job. So it's really fun to take the tools that you got paid to take that somebody threw away and use them on the next job to cut all the copper off of this compressor to take it over to the scrapyard. It turns out that on trip number one, we had about 2,000 pounds of metal on the truck, and then we threw all the copper in that we had cut off of this compressor. And as we went into the scrapyard, we got about $100 for all of the metal, but for 94 pounds of copper, we got $275. There you go. So keep your eyes out for copper, my friend. That's where the money is in the scrap metal business. Well, that tells you a little bit about that job. We got more to tell you about that job at Prince George's Community College, but we'll be back to tell you that. I'm coming to you live from the Tampa International Airport in Tampa, Florida, where I am over at gate E72 doing a radio show in the corner, having just taken a nap for about an hour before I fly back to Washington, D.C. I'll tell you about the airfare that I paid to get back to Washington. You won't believe it. But we're going to take a break here in just a second here. We'll take a break for about a minute, then we'll be back. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Tampa International Airport in the very corner of the E72 gate, where I was just trying to find a little bit of solitude here. There's a flight that's going to board going someplace out of gate E72, probably in an hour. There are a few people starting to gather around. But I've got enough privacy, and I've just got my shoes off. I've got my feet up here on a marble ledge that is inside next to some plants running down the wall area here. I'm just sitting here in my stocking feet, and I'm having a blast. Got my little U-shaped pillow here, my feet up on the pillow. I'm kicking back in the chair, and I'm having a blast here in Tampa, Florida. I came down here to do a hauling job for an 83 and 87-year-old couple, and that went well. I took the last load of stuff to the dump this morning. I do have to tell you, I'm a big fan of persistence. I think persistence pays off in life. And when I go on these trips, and I've done a number of these all over the country, when I come down to this area, to Tampa, or wherever it is that I'm going, I do not line up everything I'm going to need in advance. I don't do that. I don't look for where the dump is. I don't look for where the Goodwill is. I just assume that they are here somewhere, and I will find them after I'm here. I don't really need them until I have a truckload of stuff to take, right? I don't need to go to Goodwill unless I see that there's stuff that needs to go to Goodwill. So why stop and try and figure out where it is if you may not ever need to go there? See, it depends on the stuff that you have, and even though you get pictures of this stuff in advance, it's hard to tell from pictures what kind of shape it's in. I don't even arrange for the truck before I come down. I usually, either the night before or the morning of or whatever, I go on Priceline and I just look for pickup trucks available at the airport that I'm going to. And I have yet to fail in that situation finding a pickup truck. The one that I got on Tuesday morning came from the rental company Sixt, S-I-X-T, where they did not have a full-size pickup truck available. I tried a couple of others, of other companies, and they were sold out. So I started getting a little nervous, but Sixt had a standard-size pickup truck, which is a Toyota Tacoma, and I told the clients, I said, you know, we price this based on box trucks, you know, showing up and hauling your stuff away. But I always explained to them, you can't rent one of those in an airport. So I usually take a pickup truck, go to the job, assess it on day one, and sometimes just use the pickup truck to do the job, sometimes turn around and go get a bigger truck to do the job. But most of the time, I'll use a pickup truck to do it, and I'll just make multiple runs. It's cheaper that way to rent one of these trucks, and it saves some time. So I went to the, I found a truck available. It was like $43 a day with a $200 deposit, which is great. And I came into Tampa Monday night, Tuesday morning, came over and picked up the rental truck. Can you hear me now? Okay. So I went into the airport, picked up the truck from the sixth counter, and I was in great shape. Went out to do the job, and invariably they will look at you and say, you're not going to be able to do this with just that truck. And I love a good challenge, and I just do it anyway. So that's what happened in this case. But my point is, when you look for an item, in this case a pickup truck, and a couple of places don't have it, don't give up. Just keep looking and keep trying and be persistent, and good things will generally open up for you. I have all kinds of success that happen in travel, finding flights, other stuff like that, that pretty much happen because I'm persistent and I keep looking and I keep checking. And I don't give up. And, you know, I'm like a bloodhound, and eventually you find the raccoon if you just keep checking all the trees around, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes people, and this happened recently with a gentleman who had a travel problem, sometimes people get on Facebook and they complain that some program that's out there that they're using is a big waste of time and such a ripoff. And I use the same program and have done so for 3 years, and it's one of the best things I've ever discovered. The difference is quite simple. I'm persistent. I keep looking, checking, and trying different things, and I make it work. I find the one. I find the golden gem that works for me for my situation. Other people will not probably look as hard, and so something doesn't work, and so they get discouraged and they quit. In this case, if you came down and you looked for pickup truck and you found a couple of, you know, like, let's just say Avis and Hertz that had pickup trucks available, but when you went to click on it and make the reservation, it says, sorry, no longer available. When that happens a couple of times, some people would just say, oh, crap, this isn't going to work. And they bow out. I keep looking, and I find what may have been one of the last pickup trucks available in Tampa at the airport Tuesday morning. But I found it, got my hands on it, and now that makes the job possible, right? So be persistent, don't give up, and don't get, you know, sidetracked if your goal doesn't come together as fast as you want it to originally. Just keep going after it, and it should work out just fine. So back to the Prince George's Community College, we took Thursday and Friday of last week to do that job. We thought we would have it done by Friday. We had to go back on Monday and finish up. And shout out to the wonderful facilities guys down there, especially a guy named Snickman, the SWAT, a guy who operated the tractor for us. One of the reasons we charged them is I thought we were going to have to rent like a Bobcat tractor or something, but the college has, you know, large tractors they use for their ball fields and their maintenance and stuff like that. Well, they supplied the tractors and came over and loaded this stuff up. We put it on a 16-foot truck that we rented from Enterprise Rental Truck. And that truck right now is loaded with stuff back up in Maryland that will be unloaded tomorrow once I get back. So it was great. They paid us $1,000 to do the job. They loaded the big, heavy stuff themselves. We separated all the copper from all the metal. The first time we went into the scrap metal yard, we got $400. The second time, we got $300. The third time, we got somewhere around $175. And I still got one more load on the truck that has a bunch of copper on it that we're going to separate and go in tomorrow and get more. So they paid us $1,000. We're probably going to make a second $1,000 just by emptying the truck. And that's the beauty of our business. Ideally, you get paid to load the truck, and you get paid to unload the truck. And you have an empty truck, and you go do it again. My point going back to where I started this conversation is that this job, this $2,000 job, is a result of a $5 Craigslist ad that we place, right? And so for that price, I guess I could run 400 more ads, couldn't I? Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, the ads are paying for themselves. So Craigslist ads are a great place to go for your business. You get an ad for a month. Only costs you $5, and you put in there whatever it is you're going to do. In this case, it got us a $2,000 job hauling away scrap metal from a college, and it also taught me the value of going after these large institutions when you want scrap metal, as opposed to calling, you know, Tom and Jane to haul away their fridge and get $12 for it or something like that. You know, better to get hundreds of dollars and fill up a big truck than to make multiple trips to different people's homes and make small amounts of money. So when I went in with this big truck full of big, heavy stuff that at the scrap metal yard they used their big cranes to unload it, I looked at my friends who were there in their pickup trucks taking in their stuff to get $100 or something, and I just kind of silently smiled to myself that it's a lot better to fill up a big truck with bigger, heavier stuff. You know, and you get paid to do it. And so it was a little bit of a revelation to me. I thought it was a great thing. But anyway, hats off to the Prince George's Community College in Largo, Maryland, for being a new client of ours. And we were happy to help them out. They did a terrific job, and their support staff did a terrific job. So I'm down here at the Tampa International Airport. I'm here in Tampa to do a did a job the last few days. And I go around the country, the 48 continental United States, I go around the country traveling to do these types of jobs. I've done it for years. And I don't charge travel expense or hotel expense to these customers when I do this. They sometimes can't believe it, but the beauty of that is that it allows me to compete with the local junk removal companies as though I'm right here locally, right? One of the main reasons that it works so well is because I use the Go Wild Pass on Frontier Airlines. I'm sitting here at the gate right now looking out the window at a Frontier jet that's going to get loaded here in a few minutes. But I buy their Go Wild Pass. That pass is $600 for a year, and then you fly free for a year. So you pay $600 and then you fly free for a year. I'm in my third year of doing this, and the last 2 years, they come out about 9 months into it, and they say, hey, all you Go Wild Pass members, if you want to renew your pass for this next year, you can do it for half price for $299. So I go, okay. So I do that. Then when you go in to book your seats, you're going into the same reservation system that everybody else is, and it shows you a price for a regular ticket, for a discount den ticket, which is what the email group that you can join, and then you get reduced prices. And then it has the Go Wild Pass fares next to that. And if you're a Go Wild Pass member, those fares pop up and you can click on it and it gives you your fares. The bottom line is my flight nonstop from Washington Dulles to Tampa, Florida, Monday night was $16. The regular fare was about $278. The discounted fare was $130 or something. The Go Wild Pass fare was $16. So I bought that one. It's a confirmed seat. Because I have flown 20,000 miles on Frontier, I can upgrade when I check in. I can upgrade to exit row seats. at no extra charge. I also get a carry-on bag, which I rarely use when I travel, but I get that for free. I also board first. So I feel like I have my own airline. It's the way it shakes out. And I literally flew down here Monday night at 9 o'clock, got here at about, I guess, 11:30, something like that. And it was $16, right? I'm not making this number up. The trick to this pass is that you book your fares 24 hours in advance, which means you can't go in and book a flight out on Friday and at the same time book the return flight on Monday. You have to book the return flight on Monday sometime on Sunday. So it is kind of it's for guys like me who don't mind traveling last minute and who don't get paranoid if all the plans aren't made in advance, right? You have to kind of fly by the seat of your pants a little bit on terms of the dates and the flights and stuff like that. But in the Washington, D.C. area, I have four airports I can play with. I can go from Washington Reagan. I can go out of Dulles, Virginia. I can go out of Baltimore, Washington Airport, BWI. Or if I want to go up 2 hours north, I can use Philadelphia. I have used those four airports many times, either flying out or flying back into the Washington area. That is very helpful because it gives me variety and it gives me some choices. At 5:30 this afternoon, in about 2 hours, we will take off and fly nonstop back to Washington Dulles for another $16. So the round-trip airfare for this job in Tampa was $32. I also have to tell you about just the thrill of the Wyndham hotel chain. I am a Diamond member up there. That's the highest you can be of the Wyndham hotel chain with points and other things. So I use points, either points in cash or just points, to book hotel rooms at La Quinta hotels wherever I travel. And those hotels will either be free or they will be, you know, a certain number of points plus, you know, $50 or $60. And it's very inexpensive way to travel. The rates are great. There are lots of hotels around that you can use. And I just, you know, you come, it's just a big adventure. You fly for $16, you come down to Tampa, you rent a truck for $43. You go look at the job for the first time, and then you figure out, okay, this is how I'm going to do this. And then you do it. And in this case, with this shed, somebody, this guy from Connecticut that stopped paying his rent, did something with installing doors. And so he has doorknobs that are brass. He has latches that are brass. He has hinges that are brass. He has a whole bunch of aluminum. All this stuff that you want in the metal area that pays you more money. So I made hundreds of dollars here in the Tampa job off just taking the stuff to a local scrap metal yard and getting paid for it. I ended up using two different yards that were here. You don't have to figure those out in advance and know where they are because you don't know if you're going to have any scrap metal that you have to take. So you can put this all together as you go and it will work. And when you're done, the people will look at you and the number one word they use, and this has been the case for years, they will look at you and go, "This is amazing." And then they tell other people about it. And, you know, they say, this guy goes all around the country and he rents trucks and he comes and he cleans out your property. And it's a great deal and it's a good price. And I don't know how he gets it all done, but he does. And I just, when I go on one of these jobs, I think I did 8 or 9, you know, pickup truck loads of stuff on this job. And when I start in the morning, I just go all day long without stopping. I don't take a 1 hour break for lunch. I get something to eat, and I eat it in the truck while I'm headed to the next, you know, scrapyard or whatever. And I just keep going. I'm one of these guys who just kind of puts my head down and goes for it, believing that good things are going to happen as a result of that. And they have. Another successful job, another happy customer. And there's a great deal of pride that kind of comes into your heart and your mind when you go on the road and you pull it off and it works like a charm. And you overcome the hurdles, and everybody's happy. And you got another couple of happy clients. Plus, you get to see Tampa. So when I come back, we're going to take a break here in just a second. When I come back, I'll tell you more about Siesta Key Beach, which is in outside of Sarasota, Florida, about an hour south of Tampa, which is where I went and spent a couple of hours on Tuesday night. And I got a great way for you to de-stress and kind of just enjoy it. I'll tell you more about Siesta Key Beach in just a moment when we come back. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you from Tampa International Airport. I'm your host, Alan Cook, on the road doing junk removal jobs, helping people get the junk out of their homes and out of their lives. We'll be back to you in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, thank you to my good buddy, Don Newsom. That's his golden voice that you hear as our producer. His son, Thomas, is doing a great job today helping us out. We appreciate his great efforts as well. And Don's brother, twin brother, Doug, is the co-founder of BBS Radio TV. You can listen to their network at bbsradio.com. They're out of Texas, and they do a fabulous job. And I've been with them for a couple of years, and I just really appreciate all the good work they do. And today, Don's son Thomas is our producer. He's doing a great job. It's fun to be on their network. It's fun to promote their network. And if you are interested in doing a radio show, all you need, from my experience, all you need is a phone. I use an iPhone. That's all I have. I do this show from Switzerland, from Tampa, from Wisconsin, from Washington, D.C., from all over the world, and it just works fabulous. When the show is done, within about 48 hours, they send me an audio file of the show. I then upload it to Buzzsprout to my Junk Refund Show podcast, which I invite you to go check out and take a listen to all the different shows that we've done from around the country and around the world, actually. And they also upload it on their website at bbsradio.com. They upload the shows as well. So there are two different places you can go to listen to the shows from the past and to get some tips and insights into how to get the junk out of your home and also out of your life. I'm here to tell you, as a guy who frequents Florida fairly frequently, because it's just a two-hour flight from Washington, D.C., and I can fly down here for about less than $20 one way. Florida is synonymous with the word bugs. I mean, this place has lots of greenery, lots of water, lots of humidity, and lots of bugs. So as I had forgotten that, in the past, there is so much vegetation around, in this case, the Tampa area, that it's just dense with vegetation and greenery. And when you look at that, you say, you know what, there are a lot of bugs in there, and a lot of spiders, and a lot of snakes, some big, some little, but lots of snakes, and alligators, and crocodiles, and birds, and, all kinds of little things, mosquitoes with a capital M, all kinds of things inhabit this Florida area. So as I was reminded of that when I'm cleaning out this lady's shed this last couple of days, I'm grabbing, boxes of stuff that's been sitting there for years. And when I first got there, I picked up a box of stuff, a little lizard about 3 inches long, pops out of the box and goes scurrying along the ground. I thought, oh, okay, welcome to Florida. So you keep your eyes out, right? You just kind of keep your eyes peeled. But I did grab one box off of a shelf in the shed, and a lizard ran right up my arm. Now, that's what makes my job exciting. You never know what's going to happen, what's going to crawl up your arm or whatever. but it just makes it exciting. And I survived the lizard situation. I did one job a couple of years ago in a guy's house where he had some firewood stacked up inside of his garage. He wanted to get rid of the firewood. So we went in and we would pick off, starting on the top row, you know, some of the logs and carry them in our arms and go throw them into a truck, basically. We'll throw them into a wheelbarrow. Well, I worked my way down about halfway through this pile of stacked firewood in his garage, and I reached in and I pulled out two logs that were side by side, and there was a possum underneath those two logs with its teeth showing, a white-gray possum ready to attack that I uncovered. And boy, it scared me to death when you see those teeth and that, you know, he's ticked off. He just took away his ceiling from his home when he's there hiding in the wood. There you go. You never know what's going to happen. I picked up a bag of mulch one time and a rat jumped out from the bag, literally projected itself right out of the bag onto the floor right in front of me. And that freaks you out when you realize the rat came from the bag that you were just picking up and carrying, right? So this job has some fun times with it. I can't tell you how many snakes we've discovered. Some of them we've even rescued that we caught in some black webbing, mesh webbing. They were stuck, and we will free the snake and cut the webbing off and get the snake back into the wild. But yeah, if I had a collection of every little critter that I've come across since doing this for the last 15 years or so, I'd have a small zoo is what I'd have. And so anyway, the latest thing was a lizard running up my arm, a little tiny lizard, but still a lizard. I didn't even see it. I just felt it, boom, right up my arm, and I knew what it was. Popped out of one of these boxes and scurried off and headed back into the lush vegetation of Florida. You know, it's always interesting there were at this property, this guy from Connecticut that stopped paying his rent and then abandoned town, left two SUVs, two Jeep Cherokee SUVs are on this guy's property. There's a canoe. There is a trailer that holds four kayaks with the kayaks. And there's a boat, a speedboat that's there. And this stuff's been sitting there for a year at least, I think more like 2 years. And the problem is all of those things have titles to them. And these owners of the property don't have any of the titles. But it's amazing what you come across and what you find as a result of what people leave behind. There's just assets that get left behind because someone, for whatever reason, can't or won't take those with them to their next abode, right? So guys like me come along and get paid to haul away the junk, and sometimes people say, oh, by the way, can you take that SUV? Or can you take that boat? Or can you take that jet ski or whatever? And so we end up with some really fun stuff that we didn't have to pay for. We actually got paid to take it, which is kind of a fun thing that makes our job quite entertaining. So in the continental United States, the number one beach, the coastal beach for the United States is called Siesta Key Beach outside of Sarasota, Florida. Sarasota is about an hour south of Tampa. And it was about 30 minutes south of Ruskin, Florida, which is where we did this job the last couple of days. So on Tuesday night, somewhere around 5 o'clock, I fill up the truck. I get it filled up again with, you know, whatever it is. Let's say it's scrap metal, but the scrap metal yards are closed at 5. And so once I have the truck filled, there's nothing else I can do that night. The next step is to empty the truck, and I can't do that till the following morning. So Tuesday, late afternoon, I drove 30 miles south to Siesta Key Beach, and basically in my work clothes, my shorts and my T-shirt that was quite dirty now, the T-shirt was, I simply took the T-shirt off, turned it inside out to try and make it look a little cleaner, and went out onto the beach. This is just gorgeous white sand beach. It is a very deep beach. It's a long beach, groomed to the T's, no rocks around, just smooth and everything. And quite a few people there on the beach were facing west. And I just took a blanket with me, took my backpack, I took my shoes off, walked out to this beautiful white sand, and went out to kind of a secluded area there, laid the blanket out, put the backpack down, grabbed my U-shaped pillow, and this is now about 6:30 as the sun is still up, but it's starting to go down, and I just kind of put my baseball cap over my head, over my eyes, and just started to fall asleep and rest. That is heaven on earth when you're on a beach. You listen to the waves come in. I mean, that's just therapeutic in its own right. And then you roll over on your left side and you rest there for half an hour. And then you roll over on your right side and you rest there for half an hour. And people are walking by, you know. But it's still fairly private. Well, an interesting thing happened and then the breeze. The breeze is blowing on your body coming off the ocean. And it's just therapeutic. It's such a relaxing atmosphere. The clouds down here in Florida are spectacular. They're thick. They're high. They're dense. They're all kinds of varieties of shapes and colors and stuff. It's just kind of fascinating when you get down here in this part of the country where you got so much weather, so much unpredictable weather going on all the time. It just creates a magnificent backdrop for sitting there on the beach. So what happened is I kind of dozed off, and when I woke back up, now it's dark. The sun has gone down. It's dark, and I roll over, and I look straight up, and I'm looking at what are hundreds of visible stars. The people on the beach have left. It is now very quiet. The waves continue to come in. It's darker, you know, not pitch black, it's just darker, and a multitude of stars, hundreds of stars showing up that were there the whole time. I just couldn't see them, right? So I am now lying on the beach. I look to my left, I look to my right, pretty much everybody's gone, and I decided to stay for about another half hour and just watch more and more of these stars appear. I kept trying to see if I could spot a satellite going across the horizon. I wasn't successful with that. But when you sit there, or when you lie there on this wonderful beach, looking up into the sky, looking at hundreds of stars up there in the sky, you naturally ask yourself, is there some guy on one of those stars on a beach looking straight up, looking at me like I'm looking at them? Probably so, is my bet. And in fact, I think there's a very strong chance that is the case, but it's just an amazing situation. And then you say to yourself, well, how did those stars all get there? You know, what's holding them when they're in their orbits or wherever they are or their positions? And how are they generating light? Right? And it was just a fascinating, peaceful moment of solitude that was relaxing and comfortable. It had absolutely nothing to do with junk removal. It was just one of the great moments of my life that's available in Tampa because I'm on the number one coastal beach, which itself is spectacular. And in the meantime, I have this wonderful, you know, get the junk out of your mind experience where I get to look up into the heavens and just kind of ponder on, man, who created that and how did they do it? And it's a fascinating experience. And then the breeze continues to blow on you. It's quiet as can be. The waves continue to, you know, come in onto the beach and stuff. And you get that therapeutic sound of the waves crashing. And it's just spectacular. I went out and walked around in the water, found a few shells. Didn't go swimming, just kind of walked around in the water a little bit, walked along the beach a little bit. And it was just awesome. When I first got there at about 6:30, they have three or four volleyball nets set up on this beach. There's a young gentleman and his girlfriend or his wife playing volleyball, just the two of them. So the format was pretty simple. You pop the ball up once, then you pop it up a second time like you're setting somebody up, and then you spike it gently over the net to the other person. They receive it with their arms, you know, kind of out in a triangular shape where they will bump the ball up, then they will set the ball up to themselves. Then the third shot is again a gentle spike back over the net to the first person. And I just watched this couple do this. They are very good at what they're doing. They're not trying to beat each other or anything. They're just playing with this ball, popping it back and forth over the net, and each time you get the ball, you get to hit it three times, right? You receive it, you set it, you spike it. The other person receives it, sets it, spikes it. They were really good. I've never seen two people play that game the way they did. I thought that was pretty clever. And I tip my hat to their abilities as volleyball players. They were doing a great job there. I want to mention, because when I filled up with gas to bring the truck back to the airport, I went to the Upside app. If you do not have the Upside app on your phone, you should go to the App Store and load the Upside app onto your phone. If you buy gas, or if you go to convenience stores, or if you go to restaurants, and you're not using the Upside app, free app, you could be getting cash back on money that you're going to spend anyway. Since February of last year, in using this app, I now have in my Upside account $756 that I can put my hands on anytime I want it. I can just have it sent to me by PayPal. I can have it sent to me in gift cards. And every time I go in to get gas, I first check to see what gas stations in the area will give me cash back. I pick the one that's giving me the highest cash back with the lowest price for the gas. I then go in and claim that offer on the phone. I use my debit or credit card to pay for the gas. When I'm done, I click on the link that says, you know, just confirm that you use this card. I do. And within about 24 to 48 hours, my total goes up based on the amount of cash back that I get. There is a special promo code you can use to give you even more cash back. And it's a promo code that golfers will remember. In golf lingo, just remember the phrase, don't slice a 9-iron or a pitching wedge. DS9PW. Again, DS9PW. Don't slice a pitching wedge. Don't slice a 9-iron or a pitching wedge. DS9PW. If you use that promo code on the app when you go in to download it and start, you get extra savings. They will give you extra cash back, because you have linked your account to my account, I guess, and another account. And it's like a little referral bonus type thing. But again, $756 buys a lot of stuff, and that is only in about a year and a half. So my goal is to get it up to about $1,000 and then maybe book a cruise someplace or do something fun with the money and then start over again. I have had situations where I've ordered pizza from a company called And Pizza, and I got 39% cash back for buying their pizza, right, at the regular price. I mean, and I'm standing there at the counter buying pizza just like other people ahead of me are buying pizza, but I'm getting 39% cash back. They're not, only because I use an app. That's it. And it's a great deal. So be aware of the Upside app. It's a great way to go there and make you some extra money. I'm going to close right here by just talking about this situation with the guy who had complained about Go Wild Pass and how he used it. I'm a big fan of the fact that I'm going to call it revelation. Getting a good idea kind of out of the blue is 80% perspiration and 20% inspiration. These flights that I'm using right now, $16 to fly from Washington, D.C. to Tampa, $16 to fly back. I didn't just go to the Frontier Airlines app, flyfrontier.com. I didn't just go on there. And all of a sudden, there was a $16 fare, and I booked it. I looked at flights from Reagan, from Dulles, from BWI, and from Philadelphia down to Tampa. And then I looked at return flights to all four airports using different days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, what are the options, etc. That's the perspiration. That's the perspiration. And after the result of doing all of that, realized that $16 flights from the time that they left from Dulles were the best deal. And that's what I went with. It doesn't just happen simply. You have to put some perspiration into it. But if you do that, good things will happen. well, I'm going to board a flight here in about an hour for $16, go back up to Washington. It's been great talking to you from Tampa, Florida. Thanks for listening to the Junk Refund Show. Thanks for Thomas for doing a great job as a producer. We'll be back next week, Thursdays at 3, to tell you more about the world of junk removal and what we've discovered between now and then. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.